I feel like I should say unclean, because sort of the way I feel this morning. The agreement that I made with folks at the surgery unit is that I would wear a mask today, that I would social distance today, that I would stay away from everybody as much as possible. And so after we're done, I'm just going to stay up here near the front as opposed to going to the back to shake hands. But being that this is our last Sunday, we want to, first of all, thank all of you for making our time here at Community Baptist Church a very enjoyable time. We loved getting to know you folks and being able to spend some time with you and talk about all the things, the blessings that God has given. We're excited about the future at Community Baptist Church and what's going to take place in the next months and years that lie ahead as Pastor Chris and Laura come. And one of the things that my wife and I have done since we started the interim kind of thing is we send out some updates by email from time to time. And so back on the bulletin board over on the side, there's a little sign-up sheet there. If you would like to receive those updates from the McNallys about what's going on and how we're doing and all that kind of stuff, where we landed and all that, all those little details, just sign up on the bulletin board if you would. And we'll add that to you, add your name to the list. And probably the first one we're going to send out is Tuesday after the surgery, how we make out with that. So I'll give you a little update on how that all goes. So just wanted to say thank you, and my wife and I again really enjoyed our time together here at the church, and you guys have been a blessing to us. And even though we can't hug and shake hands and that kind of stuff, we know that we love you and appreciate your blessings in our lives. So this morning we're going to jump over to Matthew chapter 1, being it's the Sunday before Christmas. Certainly a Christmas sermon would be the one that would seem to be applicable for today. And if you looked on the bulletin, you saw the title of the message, Not an Ordinary Joe. The sermon is not about me, okay? That wasn't the idea of the sermon to be about me. But today we're going to look at Joseph and his interesting dealings that took place before the birth of our Savior. And so I want us to look at Joseph and see some of the qualities that made him that special guy that the Lord chose to be the one to raise his son while he was here on this earth. So let's read verses 18 through 25, and then we'll pray, and then we'll look into the scriptures this morning. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was in this way, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child by the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son, shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we come into the presence of you this morning with thankful hearts that you allowed us to come together in a warm building and to be able to sing praises this morning about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Father, for reaching down into history and sending your Son at the fullness of time to this earth to be our Savior, to be our God, to be our Lord, and we rejoice in him today. Thank you, Father, that as we celebrate his birth, we also look forward to not only, not just his first coming, but we look forward to his second coming when he comes to this earth to rule and to reign and to rapture us back to be with him and all the wonderful things that are going to take place at the end of time. And God, we look forward to those things. And even as John the apostle said, come quickly, Lord Jesus, we would ask, Father, for your return to be soon so that we could spend eternity with you in a face-to-face relationship, be able to know the fullness of our salvation whenever we get to spend eternity with you. And God, we look forward to that. Thank you, God, for the few months that we've had together as a church family. Thank you, God, for allowing Becky and I to come and to minister here and to enjoy the fellowship and the blessings of being part of a church family. And we ask, God, for you to just allow the church to continue to flourish. We ask you, God, to add new people to the congregation, that there would be people in this town, this surrounding area, that would come to know Jesus as their Savior and unite with this church as they would get baptized to indicate what's difference that you have made in their lives. And pray, God, that Pastor Chris and Laura would just fit right in and be able to minister and be effective in leading the church and whatever you have for them in the future. And we just again pray, Lord, for you to allow them to be sensitive to the leading and directing of the Spirit of God in each one's hearts, too, so that the fruit of the Spirit could be manifested in Community Baptist Church, and the folks in the community would say, "There's something different about that church. It's good. It's home. It's a blessing. It's wonderful to be a part of." And God, that you would just do that in the days that lie ahead. We thank you, Father, for the fact that we have your living and powerful word speaking to us this morning. And we just ask, God, as we consider Joseph this morning, that you would just lead and guide and direct, encourage us in our spiritual life today. And if there's something that we need to change, or maybe, Lord, there's somebody here that doesn't know the Lord Jesus as their Savior, that you would speak to them today. We ask this in Christ's wonderful name. Amen. There are times in people's lives when something happens that just sort of changes everything about your life. It might be you get a new job, or you lose an old job that you have known for a long period of time, and your life is just never the same because this job takes you in places that you've never been before, or the loss of this job causes you with some consternation, some difficulties. Usually, whenever we have a child, our life is never the same. We're all changed because this one little thing's about this big just disrupts all of life as we have known it. Sometimes a loss of a child certainly could do the same kind of thing. Change just turn our world upside down. Sometimes getting sick. Devastating sickness can just rearrange everything that goes on in our lives, and sometimes maybe an accident or something happens in our family, and there are things that just take place in life that just just change life so radically and dynamically that things are never the same as they were before this incident took place. And this morning we're going to look at one of those such incidences in the life of Joseph. And I don't know if you've ever thought through or processed what exactly took place in Joseph's life during this wonderful thing that we call the birth or the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. But this time had to be a very difficult time for Joseph, especially in the beginning. So let's begin by looking at Joseph and what takes place. In the first verse of we're going to look at this morning in verse 18, it says, "Now the birth of Christ came in this way, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child by the Holy Spirit." Now just think about this for a second. There had to be a conversation that went something like this. Mary speaking to Joseph. "Joseph, you're not going to believe what happened to me. In fact, I can't believe what happened to me. Here I was just going about my normal routine in life, and an angel appeared to me. The angel Gabriel appeared to me, and he began to explain to me that that I was going to have a child. He began to explain to me that some of the things that this child was going to do. He began to explain to me what we're going to name this child. He began to explain to me, and so I asked him, how is this going to take place? And he said that the Holy Spirit was going to come upon me and in such a way that I was going to have a child. Okay? Now imagine you're at the other side of this conversation, and you're Joseph, and this lady that you're espoused to. Now we know that the idea of being espoused is the idea of we would sort of call it an engagement, probably more serious, more binding than what we would call an engagement in the day and age we live in. But they had already made a promise to one another that they were going to be married at the appointed time. And so, Mary wasn't to have any boyfriends or have any relationships. Joseph wasn't to have any girlfriends or any kind of relationships. They had been committed to one another in this situation. And so, in this committed situation, your wife, your fiance, the one you're going to be married to, she comes up to you and says, "I'm going to have a baby." And I'm sure that Joseph's reaction was not, "Whoa, man, I'm excited about that." He's asking the question, "What's going on here?" And you talk about stories. How do you make things up like this? Now, we know the end of the story, right? But imagine Joseph. Here he was at the beginning of this story, and here she is. She's telling me all of these things that an angel appeared to her. Who has appearances of angels? And who gets pregnant by having the Holy Spirit come upon them? This is just a bigger tale than I'm able to grasp hold of. And so Joseph was, just shocked that, his life is never going to be the same because, you think about it, whenever you're espoused to somebody, you're engaged to somebody, you're planning on marrying somebody, you sort of plan your life out, right? You say, well, we're going to get married here, and we'll probably have some children here, and we're going to do this, and we're going to raise our kids, and you sort of have the family all lined out, and all of a sudden, just this great big monkey wrench gets dropped right into the center of what's going to take place. And she comes around and tells me one of these stories that he had to just be upset, and he knew that they had never had relations, and so he's thinking to himself, something went wrong here. She now has a child, and the problem was that Joseph didn't believe the story. Right? Let's go on to the next verse, because it says that she said she came. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man. Now, the idea of being just is the idea that he knew that there were rules and regulations, there was protocol, there was ways that things should be done, and up until this point in time, he was doing it. He hadn't had relations with another woman. He had, espoused himself to Mary. He was assuming that Mary had never done anything, had relations with anyone, and she had made a commitment to him. And so he's a just man. He was living according to, God's plan and God's standard. And he knew according to God's plan and God's standard that she shouldn't be having any children until after they had been married, until after they had become a husband and wife. And so he was a just man. He knew what the standards were. He knew the way the things were supposed to happen, but things weren't going the way that he wanted them to go. But not only was he a just man, but it says here, and not willing to make her a public example, but was minded to put her away privately. Okay? So not only was he a man who was a just man and knew that, here's the standard, here's the things, the way, this is the way God wants things to proceed, he's also said, but I love her. I care about her. I don't want to make her a public example, everybody to see what kind of a woman she is, because he's in his mind, he's saying what? He's, she's a loose woman. She's breaking her promises. She has done all of these wrong things, but I still love her. I don't want to make her a public example. I don't want to, put her up in front of everybody to see these horrible things that she has done. And so he's thinking in his mind, how can I get out of this situation How can I get out of this relationship? How can I do this without bringing, you know, condemnation and judgment upon this, you know, this woman that I still love, this woman that I care about? And so we see that not only was he just and wanted to live according to the standards, but he also had a compassionate heart about him. He cared about what was going on with Mary. He didn't want Mary to be thrown to the wolves. So we see a couple of things about him. And then we see what happens in verse 20. In verse 20, Joseph has a dream, okay? Verse 20 says, "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying..." Now, you can just imagine what's going on, right? Joseph lays down to go to bed at night, and what's he thinking about? He's thinking about Mary. What am I going to do? How am I going to handle this situation? What's the right thing to do? You know, all this, and it's going through his, going through his mind. And, you know, all of us have done the same thing, right? We have something that's weighing on our mind. We lay down the street and go to sleep. And what do? We have a dream about it, right? You know, it's either a crazy dream or, you know, something happens. But in this dream, it was really a vision from God. It says, "Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David." Okay, so we know that Joseph was also in the lineage of David. He says, "Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit." He's saying, you know, don't be afraid to take upon her as your wife. Don't be afraid to get married. You know, go through with your commitment. You know, go ahead with the plans, because what really has transpired here is the Holy Spirit has come upon her. In a way that none of us really understand how that all works, that the Holy Spirit came upon her, but that's the way that she became with child. And so he says, you know, don't worry about that. Don't be upset about that. You know, don't be discouraged about that, because really you're right into the hands of God. You know, God is the one who is working here. God is the one who is bringing about this this supernatural birth. And so he said, you know, don't be fearful of that. You know, don't be discouraged. Don't be afraid to be a part of that. And if you turn over to Luke chapter 1, in Luke chapter 1, it says almost the same thing about how the birth of the Lord Jesus took place. Luke chapter 1 and verse 35, notice what it says here. It says, let's go back to verse 34. Mary asked the question. Okay, Luke 1:34. Mary asked the question, "Then said Mary unto the angels, how shall this be, seeing I know no man?" You know, how is this going to take place? And the angel answered and says, "The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee. The power of the highest shall overshadow thee." You know, the power of God is going to be upon you. "The power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Okay, and so he's saying, you know, that just about the same thing that the angel said to Joseph. You know, it's by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God is going to work in your life, Mary, and you're going to have a child. Okay, now let's go back to Matthew chapter 1 again, if you would. And in the passage of Scripture, the dream that Joseph is having, we get a little bit more detail about what's going to take place. Verse 21. It says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Okay? Now, think about this. Now, my wife and I, whenever we had children, we had children back in the days whenever you had to wait to see what you got. Okay? You know, in the day and age you live in now, you know, you check out and decide. A friend of mine was just telling me yesterday that he's going to fly out to Colorado for the gender reveal party. Okay, how many of you have been to a gender reveal party yet? Oh, my, they're lots of fun. You ought to sign up for a couple of those. They're lots of fun. They do all kinds of crazy things, you know, pop balloons and it's blue or green, or, you know, a bomb goes off and it's blue or green. You know, they do all kinds of crazy things to decide what, you know, to let everybody know whether you're having a boy or whether you're having a girl. But back in our day, we had to wait. And, whenever it came, you know, you had to take whatever you got. I mean, you couldn't trade it in and say, you know, I really wanted a girl. You know, let's send that boy back. You know, you had to take whatever you got. So here, notice what happens. You know, clear back in New Testament times, you're going to bring forth a son. So here, Joseph already knew what he was getting. You know, isn't that remarkable? Okay, long before we ever, you know, had the testing options that we have now, he says, you know, you're going to have a son. Not only is he going to be a son, but you're going to know something else about him. He says, this is what I want you to name him. He says, and you shall call his name Jesus. Now, you realize that in Bible times that names had much more significance than they do in the day and age that we live in, that they named him Jesus because Jesus means save or savior or salvation. And so the idea of Jesus coming, you know, here was the picture of, you know, when the Jews would say his name, they would know that they were talking about Jesus as a savior or the one who saves or salvation. You know, that's going to be his name. And why would they name him that? Notice what the end of the verse says here. For he shall save his people from their sins. Okay? And again, you see the understanding or you get the idea. What was the purpose of the Lord Jesus coming? The purpose of the Lord Jesus coming was to save his people from their sins. Now, probably at this point in time, Joseph had no concept. Mary had no concept of what was going to take place, how this salvation was going to happen. They may have read over Isaiah chapter 52 and 53 and saw some of the things about him taking transgressions and by his stripes we were healed, you know, those kind of things, but probably had no concept at that point in time that he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, that the Lord Jesus Christ was, you know, coming. And I was saw something on Twitter in the last couple of days that said something like this, that as long as we do not connect the manger with the cross, we always have a baby Christianity. But we need to connect the manger to the cross because the manger is the starting point to lead us to the cross, because the cross is the final culmination of Christ's work. Well, not really the cross. The cross and the resurrection is the culmination of Christ's work on this earth, because it's at the cross and his resurrection where he pays the penalty for our sins, where he dies as a substitute for our sins, where he rises again for our justification so that we can have everlasting life. And all these things come, you know, that are all tied together in the package of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know, you know, everybody gets excited about Christmas and buying presents and those kind of things and celebrating the birth of Christ, which is great because, you know, here's God's gift to us, to mankind, by sending the perfect Savior to this world. But the culmination of it is in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ after he died for the penalty of our sins. So he says he's going to be a son. You're going to call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. Now, then the angel gives a wonderful explanation of, you know, why is this going on? Why is this taking place? You know, what's going on here? Okay, and he gives us a commentary on why these things are transpiring, why these things are happening. So he says in the next verse, he says, "Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord the prophet, saying." A couple of interesting things in regard to this. The first is, notice that he's talking about fulfilled prophecies. Okay, one of the main reasons that we believe in the inspiration of the scriptures is the fact that it was prophesied in the Old Testament and it was fulfilled in the New Testament. Arnie said this morning that the writing of Isaiah chapter 9 was probably 700 years before the time of Christ. Okay, now think about that. What kind of things change over a 700-year period? Who remembers what happened 700 years ago? None of us are alive, right? And so they had the fulfillment of what was written 700 years ago in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, you know, that was the one of the interesting things. The other interesting thing about this verse is, notice what it says in verse 22. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet Isaiah, okay? And what's he saying there? He's saying that, you know, the writings that Isaiah gave us were spoken by God. You know, this is God's, inspired word that he's giving to us. It's not just something that Isaiah woke up one morning and said, you know, I'm going to write this down about, you know, a virgin is going to conceive and bear a son and all of those kinds of things. That's not the idea. It's God has spoken to him and he inspired those words. Now, jump back if you would to Isaiah chapter 7, just so you know where this passage of Scripture is. I'm sure most of you already know. But in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, it says this: "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign." Okay, there's going to be a sign to what's taking place, and you're going to recognize this sign. He says, "Behold, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive." Now, as soon as you see this statement that a virgin is going to conceive, you say to yourself, what? Well, that's impossible, because virgins don't conceive. You know, it doesn't work that way. You know, God created how procreation takes place, and that's not the way it's done. Okay? But he says here in Isaiah, you're going to see this sign: "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel." Now, one of the questions we always ask ourselves is, well, if we're going to call his name Emmanuel in the Old Testament, why is it that in the New Testament he says, well, we're going to call his name Jesus, okay? The idea is that we're going to call him Emmanuel. We're going to call him God with us, okay? Now, you realize that, you know, Jesus had many different names that he went by here on this earth. He went by the Christ, which was a picture of, what he was coming as. He was coming as the Messiah, the Anointed One. He was recognized as Jesus, the one who saves from his sin. He was recognized as Lord. He was recognized as Emmanuel, God with us. And so here was Isaiah in his prophecy that Lord gave him, telling us what? That God was going to be with us. The person of God was going to be here. Again, a great testimony to the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is God with us. And so that was the fulfillment. Now let's go back over to the book of Matthew chapter 1. And here's Joseph still in this dream. He says in verse 23, he says, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child." Okay, the virgin is going to conceive. The virgin is going to have a baby. "And shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. Okay, we're going to recognize him. We're going to talk about him as being the God with us. Okay, now again, think about how hard that would be for somebody who is, Mary or Joseph, or even somebody who is living at that point in time, to think that, this child who was born in a natural form, just like all the other children had been born up until this point in time, that this little child who, probably weighed, 5, 6, 7 pounds, something like that, was God with us. Is that unbelievable or what? Here's God with us. At this point in time, just like any other baby, didn't have any teeth, need to have his diaper changed, nurse from his mother, all of those normal things that took place, but yet he was God with us. God with us in the person of this little child, this little baby. And God sent him to be God with us. He sent him through this miraculous form, through a woman and the Spirit of God coming upon this woman, so that he could be God with us. And so whenever we celebrate, next Saturday, whenever we're celebrating the fact that God sent his son, God, to be with us, to live here on this earth, to walk among us, as we would say. And so he says, "The virgin shall bring forth a child, going to call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. He is going to be literally God with us as he walks here in this earth. He's going to be God with us as he talks here in this earth. The words that come out of his mouth, they are going to be God words. The actions that he does, they are going to be God actions. The things that he involved in, they are going to be God things that he's going to be involved in, because he is God with us. And again, he had to be God. He had to be perfect so that whenever he did die on the cross, that he would be that perfect, sinless sacrifice to pay the penalty for your sins and my sins. It couldn't be someone who was just another person off the street to die in our stead, because he had to pay the penalties for his own sins. We need that perfect sacrifice, and that's who the Lord Jesus Christ was, God with us, and fulfilled through the testimony of the Old Testament, and now we see it in the New Testament. So let's go on. Verse number 24, Joseph's reaction. Joseph says to himself, oh boy, things are never going to be the same, right? It says, Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the Lord had bidden him and took him unto him his wife. He did what Mary said. He believed the dream that he had. He believed this message from God, that God was really truly speaking through him. And so not only do we see Joseph as somebody who was a just man, who knew what the standards were and how to live by them, not only a compassionate man that didn't want to put her out and to be a laughing stock or to be stoned or any of those judgments that would come upon her, but he was also somebody who was obedient. He did what he was told to do. He did what God wanted him to do. And we'll see that in this, the fact that he took Mary to be his wife, but also the fact that he was willing to change. He was willing to change. He had his mind made up. This is what I'm going to do. This woman has let me down. This woman has cheated on me. This woman has done those things. But God gave him this wonderful revelation. And once God gave him this wonderful revelation, he bought into the fact that this is what I want to be a part of. Can you imagine? Just think about this for a second. Here you are, Joseph. You lay down on your bed and you're trying to think, how do I get rid of this woman? You wake up on your bed and you're saying to yourself, wow, God has included me, allowed me to be a part of one of the greatest things that he has ever done. He is going to save the world through this one who is going to be born into my family. Now, I don't know if you ever had worries about being a good father or not. But can you imagine being a father to the Lord Jesus Christ? I mean, it just goes beyond, your comprehension. It goes beyond your ability to think, here is the Son of God himself that you're, training and raising and directing and, all of those kinds of things. And probably Joseph said, well, here's one kid I'm not going to have to spank, right? But the idea, the thought is that, he was willing to change and he was obedient to what he wanted to do. Now let's go on to the next verse. He took her as his wife. Verse 25. And he says, he knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son. Again, you think about the self-control that went on in this man's life. Here he marries a woman, right? And what do you think about whenever you're getting married? You're saying, wow, we're gonna have a honeymoon. We're gonna consummate this marriage. We're gonna be like regular husband and wife kinds of things. But instead of that, Joseph says, we'll wait until until the child has been born, and then we'll have a normal kind of family situation. And so he practiced self-control, and then in the last thing he says. It says, he knew her not until she had brought first her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. He was obedient to the commandment. He was obedient to what he said he was going to do. This is what I want you to do. I want you to call him Jesus. And so whenever he was born, he wasn't Joseph Jr. He was Jesus, the one who is going to save his people from her sins. And so we look at Joseph and we say to ourselves, wow. He was a man who was just. He was a man who was compassionate. He was a man who was willing to change. He was obedient to the calling of God in his life. He had self-control. And you look at that and you say, wow, I understand why God chose Joseph and Mary to be this special couple. Because, who's going to be the head of the house? Joseph's going to be the head of the house, right? How is he going to raise the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, he's going to raise the Lord Jesus Christ as he's going to be a just person, and he's going to be willing to change if God directs him, and he has self-control, and he is compassionate, and you know, you look at that and you say the characteristics of this this man, and you know, we don't know much else about Joseph in his life. You know, he's off the scene, you know, relatively soon, it seems like. We don't know exactly when he died or anything like that, but we can see that, you know, in Jesus' formative years, this is the kind of man that God chose to use. And I thought to myself, you know, boy, those characteristics that Joseph have are really good characteristics for you and I to have too, wouldn't you think? That we would be just people, you know, live according to the standards of God, that we'd be compassionate people, that we would care about what's going on with the people around us, that we'd be willing to change, that, you know, if God brings something into our lives that we wants us to do or be involved in or make a difference in somebody's life, that we're willing to do this. We don't have to, you know, do the same thing that we've always done in the way that we've always done it. We're willing to, you know, to do something different if God gives direction in those kind of things. That we're obedient to God, that we take the word of God and we put it into practice in our lives, and we have self-control. We're able to say no at the right time, that we don't get involved in sin, that we say no to the things of God. And so as I was thinking about, as you're thinking about, as we're all thinking about the celebration of Christmas that we're all going to be involved in just a few days, be sure you think through about Joseph. Maybe read through Luke chapter 1, chapter 2 about Mary and just see some of the things that took place, and just sort of put your mind into, you know, what they went through and the things that they were involved in, just to see the reasons that God chose them and was involved in them. And maybe this morning you look at your own life and you say, you know, really, I'm not very just and I'm not very self-controlled. I have a hard time changing. And maybe you want to talk to God today and say, God, make some differences in my life. God, change me. Help me to be more like Joseph. Let's pray together. Our precious Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you and we praise you that you have seen fit to save our soul. And God, if there's someone here that has never put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus as their Savior, I pray that maybe today, God, that they could call out to you and say, I want to receive this salvation that Jesus has given. But Lord, for all of us that are saved, I pray that you would help us to open up our hearts and think about, examine, do a little self-evaluation about how do I compare the characteristics of my life with what went on in Joseph's life, and one of the reasons, the different reasons that God, you chose him to be the earthly father of the Lord Jesus because of these characteristics. And God, if we need to change, I pray that you do this. In Christ's most wonderful name, amen.